and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
News, I'm Dave Packer. An update in the last hour on the hunt in Pennsylvania for convicted killer Daniel Cavalcante, on the loose since August 31st when he escaped from a Chester County prison. And authorities say he's now clean-shaven, stole a white van, but he has ditched it and approached the homes of two people he formerly worked with, both called police. President Biden in Hanoi today as the U.S. and Vietnam signed a strategic partnership in education, technology, and business. With the latest rise in COVID-19 cases reported, Dr. Anthony Fauci, now a university professor at Georgetown, telling ABC's This Week he believes that the latest dose could be approved in the coming weeks.
We're going to have boosters available shortly, within a week or two, hopefully before the end of September.
The death toll from the devastating earthquake in Morocco, now at least 2,100. In Massachusetts, a woman in critical condition after lightning hit her yesterday afternoon. Police say that she was walking her dog when it happened. Dave Packer, ABC News. The special prosecutor overseeing the criminal investigation of President Biden's son telling a court charges could be coming soon. ABC's Mark Remillard reports.
In court documents that were filed last week, Special Counsel David Weiss signaling his intent to bring an indictment against Hunter Biden on tax and gun charges. Democrats downplaying the impact that Hunter Biden's legal troubles might have on his father's re-election campaign. Delaware Democratic Senator Chris Coons says to ABC News, Hunter isn't on the ballot.
I frankly admire the fact that President Biden stands by his son, and I don't believe it'll have an impact on his re-election.
Coons says, meanwhile, Donald Trump, who is facing four criminal indictments, is seeking to be on the ballot. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Turkish officials say rescue teams have begun the arduous process of extracting an American researcher from a cave after he suffered a medical emergency 3,000 feet deep. 40-year-old Mark Dickey has been trapped inside the Morka cave in Turkey for over a week. Two foreign aid workers reportedly killed in eastern Ukraine today as Russian shelling hit a van carrying a team of four working with a Ukrainian non-governmental organization, while dozens of Russian drones targeted Kyiv and wounded at least one civilian. This is ABC News.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A group of U.S. House Republicans wants $4 billion in cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency in exchange for their votes against a government shutdown later this month. Environmentalists say that would jeopardize efforts to eliminate PFAS pollution. Mark Richardson reports.
Betsy Sutherland, a former EPA staffer who worked on water issues, says this isn't the time to play politics with cleaning up the environment.
Budget cuts will have real consequences for EPA's ability to protect human health and the environment, not just from PFAS, but from every environmental threat our country is facing.
These chemicals are among the most persistent toxic compounds in existence, contaminating everything from drinking water to food, packaging, and personal care products. And they never break down in the environment. Neighboring Michigan has among the highest rates in the country. A bill in the House Appropriations Committee, which funds the EPA, proposes cutting the agency's budget by more than one-third in fiscal year 2024. Sutherland says if the measure is approved, EPA funding would plummet to levels unseen in three decades.
The cuts are incredibly short-sighted. 2 weeks ago, EPA released PFAS monitoring data for 2,000 drinking water systems that show multiple PFAS chemicals are in the drinking water of over 26 million people.
John Reeder with the Environmental Working Group says most PFAS emanate from the air emissions of industrial plants. He says the group's federal PFAS report card found these chemicals in all 50 states, but industrial regions like the upper Midwest had the most sites.
We hope that Congress is listening. Budget cuts for EPA, as well as DOD's cleanup program, have real consequences and would likely delay protection for millions of people exposed to PFAS.
I'm Mark Richardson. Find our 8 trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at BelongingBeginsWithUs.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board. How are you feeling, Greg?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
Yeah, the good. Sun's out.
The sun is out. It is very humid, though.
But it was raining so hard this morning, and now it's not.
It must have been further south, because I only had some patches on my drive-in this morning.
Downpour.
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 Oh, all right. Well, maybe that means the humidity broke.
Yeah.
Well, coming up this hour, in the bottom of the hour, we want to hear from you on how do you watch your TV now? Are you still paying for cable? Do you pay for cable? And on top of that, do streaming services? Are you all streaming? How many different streaming services do you own or do you subscribe to? There's so many different ways to piecemeal how you get your content, and none of it is that cheap anymore. And so this is all springboarding off of the fact that there is an ongoing kerfuffle between Disney and Charter. And so wanted to just discuss like what this could mean for TV in general, because this could be a juxtaposition or turning point for
good words.
The industry. But for now, because we had so much to get through in the previous segment or the previous hour regarding Janet Protasiewicz and the GOP's attempt to impeach her, despite the fact that she has not even heard a single case yet, and she has committed no crime, no misdemeanor, and has not done anything corrupt, they seemingly are going to march forward, and so we will see where that goes. But I wanted to get to some headlines, so the good, the bad, and another reason not to move to Florida. So this popped up in my inbox yesterday, the press release that for something that I think a lot of us knew was coming, but yesterday afternoon around 2 p.m., for immediate release, Melissa Temple files First Amendment lawsuit against School District of Waukesha. So, I think most of us who've been following the case knew that this would likely happen. But if you are not up to speed on who Melissa Temple is and what the controversy was in Waukesha with the Waukesha School District, let me fill you in. So, Melissa Temple was the first grade teacher in Waukesha, who earlier this year, after finding out that Rainbow Land, a song by Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton, would not, her first graders, not just her first graders, but all of the first graders in the school were planning to sing that song in a school concert. It got nixed. And this is after a series of things that have happened in the Waukesha School District regarding what, if rainbows can even be shown and what signs can be had and just in general, some anti-LGBTQ rhetoric that had been going on in the district. She went to Twitter to let people know that this happened and seemingly then had ramifications that ended up with her getting fired for that tweet. So that is, especially when it comes to being a public school teacher, you don't have the same protections as far as, I mean, like, though they have more protections than at-will employees. And who, you know, we've seen people who have viral videos of things that they do outside of work that then get them fired from work. And that's legal. Whereas this situation, because she's a government employee, it's a little different. So she filed in the federal lawsuit Tuesday against the district and specifically Superintendent Jim Siebert, which is quite the move on the first day of school. You know what I mean? You know, just like, welcome back to school. Here's a lawsuit that you get to deal with this school year. And so she claimed that she was, quote, retaliated against after she exercised her right by tweeting and engaging with the media last year. So, like I said, she spoke out against the administration's decision to ban the song Rainbow Land. Then the school board voted unanimously to fire her in July, saying she had violated district policies when she posted about the ban on social media rather than discussing the matter with her immediate supervisor. And Siebert said Tuesday he found out about the lawsuit through the media and that they are going to work with their legal counsel on next steps. But yeah, so we will see where this goes. But it's going to be, she's requested a jury trial and is seeking an order declaring that the Waukesha School District and Siebert violated her right to freedom of speech under the First Amendment, reinstatement to her former position, or an award for lost wages and other financial compensation. So welcome back. We'll see where this goes.
Welcome back to Rainbow Land.
I know. This is truly
all over some kids singing a song.
I know. A song that's all of the lyrics are about inclusion and being like in a happy utopia.
Yep. Not in my America.
But yeah, so we'll keep up with that saga. I already got in contact with her and we'll see if we can get her back on the show.
Excellent.
But some bad news. So we've had Mayor Katie Rosenberg on this show multiple times, and specifically about a year ago, maybe exactly a year ago, we had her on for the first time when the show was still really new to talk about their Wausau's new filtration system and how hard she had worked and people in the city had worked to get the funding, get the all of the things in order to get this filtration system in place for the people of Waukesha, or no, of Wausau. And so I was heartbroken for them and all of the work that they've done to read this headline of PFAS breaks through Wausau's filtration system, exceeding levels proposed by state health officials. And it's so disappointing because it's still lower. Like it's, I think they were clocking in when you read, this is an article from WPR and the Wausau Water Works notified residents this week that sampling showed a mix of PFAS chemicals at levels at 22.7 parts per trillion. So that's just above what the state's proposed groundwater standard is, which is 20 parts per trillion. But previously, when they first found out, like before the filtration system was in, it was something like 70. So it's still way lower than it was. So it's not like this, the filtration system just doesn't, like, stopped working, but it's still an indicator of how hard this problem is going to be to solve. And truly, I think it was a couple weeks ago we had a guest on from Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and it's just, I read off in the last 24 hours when he was on, headline after headline, like there's now a PFAS headline almost every day, because this was today as far as the filtration system in Wausau. But simultaneously this week, Another headline, forever chemicals found in Wisconsin River, lakes near Stella, raising concerns over fish. And so now continue, like, it's everywhere. And what's so frustrating is that even when people as responsible and committed, like Mayor Rosenberg, try to get systems in place to try to fix the problem, we're still, like, the technology's not there yet that it can necessarily be as reliable as we need it to be. So that's crappy. And then finally, another reason not to move to Florida.
Hold on, let me get my checklist here. I got a lot of reasons.
So we've talked a fair amount about, there's certain, I think it's State Farm, and I forgot who the other insurance companies, but more and more trying to get home insurance in California or Florida is becoming harder and harder because it just, as a business model, doesn't make sense for insurance companies to insure your home when you're choosing to live in a place that has, this year has already been hit by one hurricane. I haven't actually seen totals of how much damage is it. Was it Idalia? Idalia? It was something like that. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. But the how much damage that hurricane, the most recent hurricane, did to Florida. But it's still hurricane season. And so holding your breath that another one doesn't come, another one isn't really bad. But similar in California, fires, mudslides, lots of different things. And so places that it's hard to get your home insured. But the other thing of value that you have to insure is your car. So car insurance for U.S. drivers was 16% more expensive in July than it was a year earlier. And some states are experiencing hikes over 50%.
Jeez.
And why? Mostly because rising repair costs and increase in disaster-related claims. So states prone to floods and natural disasters like Florida had some of the steepest hikes. So if we look at this, even in Wisconsin had a 22% increase. North Dakota had a 5% decrease. So I don't know what's going on in North Dakota. And Georgia had a 24% decrease. So this is from Washington Post this morning. I'll put it in the show notes today. But, you know, I feel like the increasing costs of what you need to spend to be able to live in Florida really offsets the no income tax.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Of like, you move there like, oh, no income taxes, which probably, you know, depending on how much money you save or you make, saves. If you make a lot of money, I know it could be a lot of money that you save. But if you're in the 50,000 where most median incomes are, how much more are you now spending in repair costs or insurance premiums? Like, I don't know. I would be interested to see for someone to do that math as far as like what the offset is between no income tax, but here are all these other things you get to pay for just for the luxury and the privilege of living in Florida.
Okay, that's a sentence that goes a little far.
All right. When we come back, we want to start to hear from you. We already got a couple texts on this, but how do you watch your TV? Streaming, cable, mix of both. Do you not watch TV? Are you one of those who just like reads books?
I don't even own a TV.
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. How do you watch television these days? We want to hear from you. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. Good song choice.
I totally forgot that song exists. I love that song.
Who sings it?
That's Bruce Springsteen.
Is it really?
57 channels and nothing on.
God, and 57 is like a small amount.
It's adorable.
Now. It's adorable.
It's adorable.
When we were at trying to get all the TVs on when we were at the debate 2 weeks ago at Whitetail downtown, just the cable package of like, you're in like the 575 range. You're like, I just need to find CNN. Like, how do I find this? Jesus.
Can someone find me news?
But yes, so the Disney charter fight. There, people are saying that this could be the start of like the idea of the TV bundle breaking. But I feel like in general, TV has been breaking, or how we watch TV or how you choose to watch TV has been breaking for a while. But the financial dispute between Disney and Charter, it kind of just highlights the growing tensions between content providers and then cable and satellite operators as cord cutting threatens to permanently unravel the cable TV business. And basically why this matters is if this fight isn't resolved, the entire business model for traditional cable TV industry could collapse. And I don't, like, I'm also just interested, like, how many people will that affect? Because as of right now, with the Spectrum, like Charter Spectrum Disney feud, it's affecting about 15 million people. And I'm interested because then simultaneously I saw information or the data that showed that broadcast and cable made up less than 50% of TV usage back in July. So, like, I'm interested in hearing from you, just how are you getting your TV these days? And so we already have Peter on the phone from Delafield. Peter, how do you watch TV these days?
Streaming.
Exclusively streaming.
Yes. In fact, I was setting everything up yesterday because of the NFL starts Sunday, and I want to be sure I get as many games as possible at the same time. And I was a DirecTV subscriber for forever, and I cut the cord in June when they gave up the Sunday Ticket, and it went to YouTube, and I haven't looked back. Sunday Ticket is $300 a year. I got back in June, and I'm paying about $77 a month for YouTube, and I have been paying $200 a month for DirecTV, which I had to get in order to get the Sunday Ticket. You can get the Sunday Ticket standalone if you so desire. And the only Regular TV I might watch is MSNBC and Turner Classic Movie, and you're paying $200 a month for two stations.
So you were like, I'm done.
Yeah. So get yourself Roku boxes and or sticks. I got a couple of Roku sticks, and you can stream to your heart's desire.
That's what my wife and I do.
So not disappointed. There's nothing that you feel like you're missing out on as far as since you've cut the cord?
No, I have an over-the-air antenna in my roof, so if I want to watch local channels that way, I can still do that.
Okay.
But you can still get them as part of your YouTube package.
So here's a question then, because I feel like you're listening to the show, so maybe I already know the answer. But the only thing I feel, where do you get local news from? Do you watch that at all on television, or do you just read the paper and listen to civic media, or do it on the radio?
I tend not to watch local news because I'm not from Wisconsin originally, and so I'm not as much
interested
in Wisconsin news. But I do read, I would like to get the New York Times every day, but they feel they shouldn't deliver to this affluent area in Delfield for some reason.
Huh.
But I like to get the New York Times. I subscribe to it online. And I'll get the journal on Sunday as well.
Got it. All right. So everything you need, you're getting from YouTube Premium right now.
Yes, I'm getting all my streaming from YouTube, and other than the over-the-air antenna as a backup.
Interesting. All right. Thanks so much for the call, Peter.
All right.
That is super interesting. And so, Greg, you were saying before. So you guys, is it just YouTube?
Well, no. We do Hulu, Disney Plus. Oh, no, you're counting them.
No, because we do a lot of them too.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to embarrass you, but this is part of the question.
Yeah, we got Disney, Hulu. We've got, oh my gosh, Max. We've got, I'm trying to think, we got a couple others too. Netflix, of course. And then we have add ons within. So, like on our Amazon Prime, we add Showtime and other channels. So we. It's a lot.
And so, but you do have no cable subscription.
None
whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
And you still feel like, but then you do, and so you get all the sports you'd need through the ESPN add-on?
Yes, on Hulu. Yep.
But doesn't that limit you only to the games or sports that ESPN has?
Yes, it does.
The rights to?
It does. It makes baseball very difficult to watch, because baseball is all over the place.
Yeah,
it's on
totally.
Bally's, it's on YouTube, it's on Apple TV Plus. We have Apple TV Plus. We have all these different ways, and there's no like concrete way of finding the actual stuff.
Do you just have to Google every time there's a game, like how to watch Brewers
yeah.
today?
Or I just kind of watch it on my phone, like the updates that come through.
Like the highlights?
Yeah.
See, that's how I prefer to watch baseball anyways.
I
feel like besides going to a game, when my parents were in town this weekend, we had the Brewers game on both Saturday and Sunday because my dad wanted to watch, and Mike was horizontal healing anyways. And those were the first time. It was fun. I do like this. Have you gotten up with the speeded up game? Are you on board now?
Yeah. The changes I don't, I'm less whiny about now. Yes.
Great.
A 2.5 hour game I can handle.
All right. Well, how do you watch television? Are you still on cable and streaming? Are you just streaming? Are you just cable? Are you like Peter and you have YouTube Premium? We want to hear from you because it's changing and it could change and force you to change. So we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. How do you watch TV these days? Come back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We might have got all nice and friendly if we made it upstairs. All I got was a note that said bye-bye, John. Our love's 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. So bye-bye, John. Our love's 57.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An update in the last hour on the hunt in Pennsylvania for convicted killer Daniel Cavalcante, on the loose since August 31st when he escaped from a Chester County prison. And authorities say he's now clean-shaven, stole a white van, but he has ditched it and approached the homes of two people he formerly worked with, both called police.
President Biden in Hanoi today as the U.S. and Vietnam signed a strategic partnership in education, technology, and business. With the latest rise in COVID-19 cases reported, Dr. Anthony Fauci, now a university professor at Georgetown, telling ABC's This Week he believes that the latest dose could be approved in the coming weeks.
We're going to have boosters available shortly, within a week or two, hopefully before the end of September.
The death toll from the devastating earthquake in Morocco, now at least 2,100. In Massachusetts, a woman in critical condition after lightning hit her yesterday afternoon. Police say that she was walking her dog when it happened. Dave Packer, ABC News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board. And since we had Jane in our opener for this hour, a reminder, Jane will be back next week. We've missed her terribly. We're very excited for her to be back. But Greg, you've been doing a wonderful job. But yes, Jane still works here. Jane's coming back. Jane just needed a very well-deserved vacation because she is, even at 63, a workhorse. Yeah. And so that woman is the epitome of the word professional as far as how much she shows up and puts into this. And the show would not be the same without her. So we're very excited to have her back next week. But who's here this week? As always, it's 11 o'clock on a Thursday, so it is time for public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Doctor, how are you doing?
I'm so excited. We've got so many great things to talk about today.
We do. So we have some questions that came in last week that we did not have time to answer, so we're going to get to those. If you have any questions that you want us to answer, text them in now so we can make sure to try to make time to answer them, because we only have two segments today. So the doctor will be here until 11:30, but 844-967-2789. Any of your health questions that you, you know, anonymously, if you want to text in, if you want to call in and just have Greg repeat the question, or come on air with us. It's totally up to you. 844-96-PARTY. But I have my own, I guess, kind of just general question. But I went to a physical therapist this week because I have heard, I've been, some of the advice, as when you're pregnant, as you probably know, lots of people give lots of advice as far as what works for them. And this is from everything from being pregnant, recovering from pregnancy, all of the things. And one of the pieces of advice I got was, do not skimp on physical therapy. And in America, we're not always great at taking care of women after they give birth. And one of those things having to do with your pelvic floor. And so I made the decision to go see a physical therapist even before I'm giving birth to start figuring out how my pelvic floor is doing. But not only that, because I feel like we think about pelvic floor with women a lot, but having a husband who is recovering from an anterior lumbar spine surgery, which means they went through the front. And so he's basically dealing with a C-section like incision right now.
Poor guy.
He also has pelvic floor like things that are popping up. And so what is the pelvic floor? We already learned, I think, already that, Greg, it's not flooring that goes in your house.
Whatever. I'm just working out an endorsement for Blifford. That's all I want.
So what we'll is the importance? Yeah,
go we'll ahead. Get to Greg's pelvic floor later. But we all, men and women, have a pelvic floor. It's really just the muscles that hold up your bladder, and women, your uterus, your bowel. And it's a complicated network of muscles. It's so complicated that when I was in medical school, the first thing that you do as a first year medical student is you have a class called Gross Anatomy, and you literally
Gross Anatomy?
Anatomy. Mm-hmm. Yes.
G-R-O-S-S or G-R-O-W-T-H?
G-R-O-S-S, like okay. Everything. It means everything. We do like a general survey, and okay. We literally like dissect a cadaver. People donate their bodies to science, and we take our time and we learn by dissecting bit by bit. But we don't do the pelvis, because the pelvis is so hard and so complicated that you have to take actually an extra class. Unless it's changed in the 20 years since I've gone to medical school, the pelvis is just a really hard place. And it's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to talk about because, you know, it's got a lot of organs that are difficult for us to talk about in a social way. Mm-hmm. But it has a huge impact on lots of different parts of our lives, like constipation, urinary problems, pain for men and women. If we don't have a strong, appropriately functioning pelvic floor, it can cause tons of common problems.
And so it's different than your abs. Mm-hmm. Like your abs sit on top of your pelvic floor. Is that basically visually how you should think about it?
Yes. I mean, you know where your belly button is.
Yes.
Those are...
Well, not anymore. I don't really have a belly button these days, but go on.
You know where your belly button is usually located. Usually. So those are your abs, your rectus muscles, and your transverse abdominis muscles, like on your, you know, your front. But your pelvic floor is really your bottom. So like for women, if you put your finger in your vagina and just squeeze, you can usually feel your pelvic floor muscles squeezing around your finger. Same thing as far as your rectum goes and your urethra, all of that, all of those muscles together function as the pelvic floor, but they have to squeeze when they're supposed to squeeze, and they're supposed to relax when they're supposed to relax.
And that's
Kristen.
What I found out this week is that I don't have so much of a problem with the strength. It's the letting go part of being able to actually relax that I never knew was a issue. And now I do. And so it's interesting, though, because it's something that they like were trying to figure out, because even in general in life, but also to like during childbirth, mm-hmm. being able to like release your pelvic floor is going to be important. Right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many people I've seen who are struggling with the pain of early labor with their contractions, and they're really fighting it and they're really having a hard time. And then they get an epidural that allows their body to relax, and their body just goes whoosh, and their cervix opens up and their labor progresses. So there is definitely a physical component to the stress involved there, whether you are over-exercising and you are putting too much tension into your pelvic floor because you're trying to do the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you have a chronic medical problem like constipation or vulvodynia or some sort of endometriosis, some sort of condition that causes chronic pain, that causes you to be, you know, consistently squeezing and pulling back from that pain. Well, there's this negative, there's this feedback loop where your body is responding to that pain by contracting that muscle, and that muscle contraction is causing more pain, ironically. But because we don't think of it in terms of pelvic floor, and we don't think of it as something that can be resolved with physical therapy, with exercises, with breathing, we often seek other things. Like if we're constipated, we look for, you know, a laxative or something else to help us relieve that problem. And sometimes it's multifactorial. These problems, although they're very common, can have a lot of different origins. It's really great for me as an OBGYN doctor to know that you are seeking help from a pelvic floor physical therapist, because this is such an underutilized resource and so, so important for so many of us.
And I really didn't, and until someone suggested it to me, it was not something that was like an obvious, versus I've heard in Europe, it is a very obvious thing that is like prescribed to everyone instead of you having to take the burden on yourself to seek it out and ask for it.
Well, think of conventional medicine. You go to the doctor and your doctor's like, I don't know, what do you need? Surgery, medicine, or a referral to physical therapy? And the physical therapy referral is the hard thing, because you have to actually put time and effort into it, and you have to do your breathing exercises, and you have to practice those relaxation techniques. And it seems very like earthy and not like real medicine, but it is. It all fits together. So maybe there is a medicine that you have to take, or maybe there is a surgery that you need, but the physical therapy component is just as important as those other pieces.
And so does it seem, as I said, like, I feel like when I've heard about pelvic floor stuff, I've heard about it in context with childbirth, postpartum, you know, women after they give birth, the stories of like peeing your pants a little bit every time you do a jumping jack or stuff like that. But like, it's also the same thing for men. And so how does it differ when we're talking about men, whether it's with a surgery or in general of like a pelvic floor that's weak or a pelvic floor that can't relax?
It doesn't really differ. I mean, obviously our anatomy is different and, you know, they don't go through the process of childbirth, but they still, and I am not a man, I do not take care of male patients. So to be very clear, but they still have issues with constipation and urinary problems. I mean, prostate issues are very common in men, especially as they age. If they're having pain or difficulty with urination, they may be clenching their pelvic floor, and that may be leading to a very similar problem that you're dealing with right now.
And so that's a suggestion of also physical therapy, a starting place.
Yeah. Physical therapy, massage, relaxation, breathing. I mean, so many different things that, you know, again, we don't think about that because it doesn't fit into our vision of what doctors provide, what medicine is, but really it all goes together. We are holistic beings that require a lot of different types of inputs. But first, we need a good diagnosis. Yeah. And it's brilliant that you went to the physical therapist while you're still pregnant. I wish everyone had the ability to do that, because then you know, like, I'm going into this really important event in my life where I really need to understand what's happening with my pelvic floor. And then afterwards, you'll have made that contact before. And if you're having issues and you're looking for ideas about what can I do to strengthen my pelvic floor, you already have a strong pelvic floor. Do you need to do Kegels? No, you should not do Kegels. But maybe somebody who's having urinary leaking, maybe Kegels are the right solution for them. The only way that you know what the right solution is by talking with an expert, getting that evaluation, figuring out what the problem is, and then getting a treatment plan set up for yourself.
And I will say, so I got to have like an evaluation, and there was this, there's this thing with like a flower. Have you seen this before?
No.
Basically, it's like in your ability to like do a Kegel and like tighten up or relax. And if you could tighten up, the flower closes. And then but you need to be able to relax for the flower to actually open again. I did not have many blooming flowers. So that was my takeaway from my physical therapist. And so I am very happy I went. And I think it is something that's good to talk about, because had I not had someone recommend it to me, I mean, I don't think I would have thought about it at all. And now I have the opportunity to, I'm going to go in again, and we're going to try to find like different positions where I'm better at relaxing to like take that information into trying to have this baby instead of just relying on an epidural. But I'm not no hero. I probably will be having an epidural, let's be honest.
We have to allow your pelvic floor to bloom and not just be a bud.
Exactly. All right, when we come back, we have some questions that we're going to get to from last week of yours. If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly on any health topics, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We will be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Thank you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and it is Thursday at 11:20. So Dr. Kristen Lyerly is still here for our segment, Public Service Announcement, where we take, you know, a lot of my questions about pregnancy, but also women's health, but also health in general. And we always welcome your questions for the doctor at 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And last week we had a couple questions come in before we had time to actually answer them. So let's jump right into those. And the first one is there any correlation between getting COVID and very, very shortly after getting shingles?
That is a really good question. And it seems like there is, especially in older people. We know older people, like older than 50, are more likely to develop shingles. So there was a study done in 2022 that showed that people 50 or older with COVID had a 15% higher risk of developing shingles. And there was another study that showed that people with severe COVID, like in the hospital, had a double the risk, so twice as high of a risk of developing shingles. The theory is that COVID debilitates your immune system, and shingles is this really insidious virus that many of us get when we're kids, chickenpox. It's the chickenpox virus. It doesn't leave. We don't get cured of it. It just sits there in our nerve roots while we're healthy and we have strong immune systems, and it just waits for us to get sick. Hmm. And at that point when our immune system is vulnerable, it's like, ah, now's a good time. And it just busts out one of those nerve roots and creates this horrible shingles disease. So that's what the basis is. COVID weakens your immune system and just gives that other virus an opportunity to strike.
So we all, if I'm going to hear any right, so basically if you've had chickenpox, which people our age definitely did, younger people now that since the vaccine have less. You've had it, wait, what? You had chickenpox twice?
I got chickenpox twice when I was little.
Is that normal?
Yeah. I mean, not normal, but it happens.
Is Greg normal?
No. Is that your superhero origin story?
Yeah, because my superhero life is really panning out for me right now.
Chicken pox man.
My superpower always going ugh when I wake up or get up.
That's the thing. So you get shingles, or you kind of always have it, and it just flares up.
You have the virus. It's kind of like herpes. It is herpes. So like think of genital herpes. You know that if you get it, you never get rid of it. You have it forever, but you can take medicines. And when your immune system is intact, you generally don't have to worry about it. Your partner needs to know about it. You can still transmit it, but it usually doesn't cause a problem until your immune system is compromised. Huh. Same thing for shingles, but we tend to see it with herpes. We see it like in pregnancy sometimes, or when other medical illnesses happen. With shingles, it's when you get older. And it's not just COVID. It can be a ton of other things that activate that latent virus that's just sitting there waiting. Some people get it, some people don't. But importantly, there is a vaccine that prevents shingles. It's very effective. It's 97% effective for people between 50 and 70. Yes, it is easy. You can get it. The insurance covers it. Anybody older than 50 can get it. And man, if you've ever had shingles, I'm sure our listeners out there who have had shingles are like, please get the vaccine, because it is incredibly painful.
I've heard that.
My sister got it.
Your sister had it?
Yeah, my sister got it. She described it to me, and it sounded horrifying.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, on that note, our next question was, do you have any tips for dealing with perimenopause and hormone imbalances?
Yes, I do.
What is perimenopause? What is that? How is that different than menopause?
It is the process. So the perimenopause means like the time around menopause. Menopause is defined as 1 year after your last menstrual period. So you don't actually know that you're in menopause until it's been a year since you've had a period. And it's a lot trickier to diagnose if you don't have a uterus, because then you're not having periods, or if you're taking medicine that prevents you from having periods. So it can be kind of a tricky diagnosis to figure out exactly when you went through menopause.
Huh.
Perimenopause is that time that starts in like your, mid 40s or so, goes to about your mid 50s. And women experience a lot of changes as our hormones are just changing. Sometimes they're failing. Sometimes there's too much. We can have hot flashes. That's one of the most common symptoms. Vaginal dryness is a common symptom. Night sweats. You may be great one day and not so good the next. Your energy can fluctuate. You can be depressed. There are so many different ways that perimenopause can manifest in women. And that's why it's really important to talk with your healthcare provider about what your symptoms are so that we can direct the treatment to solve your particular problems. Also taking into account, what are your risks? Like, for example, if you are at risk for osteoporosis, many of us are, maybe if we have low BMIs, if we are smokers, if we're heavy alcohol users, if we have a family history, previous fractures, then maybe we need to think more strongly about, are you a candidate for hormone therapy? Or is there a different kind of osteoporosis treatment? The perimenopausal, the period that we go through, is there's so many different things that can happen. So it's really critical that women talk with their providers about what are their risk factors, what are the symptoms that they're experiencing, and what are the options for me personally.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. All right, Greg, do we have time? You said there was a caller who had a message to relay.
It was Tom from the contest before. He's a listener. He loves the show, and he says that he loves this segment. He loves listening to you talk about what you talk about. He learns, and he wishes it was an hour long.
Well, maybe we'll have to consider that to be an option. All right. Thank you, Tom, for that message. Thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for being here. As always, we will see you next week. We'll see if I have any more pregnancy questions because we'll be at the 2-week countdown. But have a great weekend.
I'm sure you will. I can't wait. I'm so excited for you.
3 weeks, baby. All right. Thank you so much. When we come back, J.R. Radcliffe is here with a sports update. Don't go anywhere. This is As Goes Wisconsin. J.R. Radcliffe is here with a sport.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.